Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Eagle Hour Holiday Edition. We're glad you're with us on the Monday after the opening of football season. David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American is going to be joining us here momentarily. Nathan Lee is in the studio with me. Luke is in the studio in Laurel, the Southern Bank Corps Studios, and we thank them for sponsoring the Eagle Hour and all they do. Dickie's Barbecue sponsors the first segment of the show, holidays, not holidays, every day. And it's a great place to eat. If you didn't do it over the weekend, you should do it this week. Next time you're planning a tailgate, we suggest you call Dickie's and let them cater your event. We promise you that you will not be disappointed. All right. Well, obviously, the heartbreaking overtime loss to Liberty is the topic of the day. David Eckert has been doing, I got to tell you, man, a great job of covering Southern Miss football. It's so refreshing, and we're so happy to see that coverage again. David, first of all, congratulations to you, man. We do appreciate all you're doing.
Appreciate it, guys. I'm enjoying it so far. It's been a very fun experience. But yeah, I appreciate the kind words. Happy to be on with you.
All right. Glad to have you. All right, I think fair to say that the number one question coming out of the football game Saturday night was when the starting quarterback goes down, Trelo comes in for one play. He went into the season last year, David, as the starting quarterback, got knocked out by injury. We saw him one more time, but the question that I heard all around me all night is, why are we not playing a backup quarterback? And you had indicated to me that in your coverage of practice, you really didn't see them spend a lot of time in this quote-unquote super back formation, but strictly that's what they went to. Your thoughts, and do you have any observations as to how that decision came about and why?
Yeah, so Will Hall told us Saturday post-game that the super back kind of being the backup quarterback was something he had actively tried to conceal so that it would be a surprise when they brought it out. The thing that does confuse me a little bit with that is that it wasn't the backup quarterback, at least not right away, because they did go to Trey Lowe right after Keith got hurt. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. But, kind of asked him about it again today, and the reasoning for it was, and in my opinion, pretty sound reasoning, right? I mean, your defense is dominating the game. The only points Liberty has scored have been the points that you gifted them with turnovers. And so I think he saw the super back and the safe version of offense that it promotes as the best route to winning the game. And if you look, the Southern Miss offense in the second half, believe it or not, was, more effective. I think they averaged, 6.2 yards per play in the second half, off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me. And I think the number was 5.6 in the first half. So right. It worked okay. Just didn't quite get over the line.
All right, so Ty Keyes goes down in the first half. He was injured early, really, when he started his career last year. Have you been able to get any indication as to how severe the injury is? I gather it was a concussion. What his status may be?
Yeah, we just had Coach Hall on the Sun Belt media conference. I asked him about it. He said he has a chance to play this weekend. He would not go into specifics about what the injury is itself and how severe it is. He says he's being taken care of by the training staff, and he's not totally out of the picture for this weekend.
All right, Luke, get in here with David.
David, I'll tell our listeners, I'll unpack the Superback stuff later on. I don't want to waste David's time with that. But David, just like the positives, you weren't here in last year to watch, and you haven't been in the last several years. The Nasty Bunch is completely different, and I will use that word all throughout this program, not to mess with Bob. But, I mean, they lived up to the billing. I want to talk for a minute and get your take on how good the defensive line is. I mean, they were just shifting them in and out at will all Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought the defense as a whole was just really, really, really good. And just talking to people and watching practice, it was clear that the defense was the strength of the team going in. But it wasn't, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I'll put it that way. It was just really good. The defensive line was outstanding. I thought they got some really good linebacker play as well. I thought Avery Havis was just awesome, just really good. They have that depth, as you mentioned. And, I know we're talking about defense right now, but they played 10 offensive linemen as well.
Which was much better. So the offensive line was much better. Yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, this is a fully functioning Division I football program now, from a scholarship count perspective and all of that. So, I think that showed itself. I do. I thought the defensive performance was strong. They got that big play too. They got that Eric Scott 6-6. Just couldn't quite seal it at the end.
Yeah, what was frustrating is I get the super back, and again I'll mention that later on. But at the end of regulation, you've got to be able to throw 20 yards worth of passes and get in Bourgeois' range. I mean, he nailed the 53 in overtime. I just felt like we were playing not to lose at the end of the second half.
Yeah, I actually, post-game, I asked Will Hall if he had thought about situationally, bringing Trey or Zach into the game in that exact instance. And he said, no. He said their plan was to try to break one in the running game. It wasn't something that they considered.
I think Luke makes a good point, David, and if Luke can correct me if this was not the point he was trying to make, but I think when you got to overtime, it was an advantage for Liberty over Southern Miss to have a quarterback that could throw.
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially in those two-point conversion situations, right? And one thing I want to point out that some people might not know, and someone tweeted this, and I forget who, so I apologize. I can't credit them. But that Liberty third-string quarterback,
he's Salter,
borderline five-star guy. He was a top 150 overall recruit and was enrolled at Tennessee. So, that kind of tells you where these two programs are at in their development. But, yeah, you're right. Southern Miss at the end of the game was a one-trick pony.
All right, so a couple minutes left in this segment. Here's an observation I want to get your comment on. Clear improvement on the offensive line, no question about that. Played very well. Clear improvement defensively. The defensive team just physically looks different on the field than what we've seen in the last couple of years. And I would assume that they would only get better. So you've got an improved offensive line. You do have some quality wideouts, I believe, and you have what appears to be a really good defensive football team. The question mark, this seems obvious, but the question mark is quarterback play.
Yes, no question. I mean, you look at, again, you mentioned the wide receivers, who I'm really high on based on what I saw preseason. I think they have some really good wide receivers. You look at Jacarius Caston, got the ball in his hand twice. Brendan Hayes got the ball in his hand once. Jason Brownlee got the ball in his hand once. So, that's not, again, you have to find a way, whether it's, creatively or you know, in the traditional passing game to get these guys the ball, because I think they'll make plays for you. But yes, they got to figure it out at quarterback.
Yeah, no question.
You know, no question.
All right. And you would think also, 30 seconds left in the segment, David, and I guess, Bob, I'll just make a comment and you take us to commercial. You would think that 13 wide receivers on the roster, that is, Will Hall wants to be able to throw the football because he recruits so many wide receivers. And, Bob, really, when I felt the most excited I got in the game other than the pick six is when you stop them on fourth down and you throw the fade to Brownlee, I felt like I was watching Southern Miss football again.
I agree. And you got to find a way. You've got to find a way to become two-dimensional. You know, you just can't run the football up the middle every time you're going to get the snap. All right, David Eckert from Hattiesburg America is with us. David, if you're in no big hurry, we're going to keep you in the conversation. That cool?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
All right, more with David Eckert. We'll get Nathan involved. We've got some sound bites. Lots more to unpack on the holiday edition of the Eagle Hour.
To the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net right on Hardy Street. I'm sure a lot of folks bought Southern Miss apparel there over the weekend. Well, they're open starting tomorrow again, and they'll be there all season long. So make sure you get your apparel from Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Also, be sure you listen to the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast every day on Apple, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you could just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're happy to have David Eckert joining us every Monday now during football season. Coming up, too, we'll be reaching out to Lee Roberts, and I almost let that slip my mind, but that'll be in the next segment. David, fair to say, now you Luke is right. You play a really good Liberty team. You take them to four overtimes, and you walk away feeling that things have improved. But you play a really high-powered, apparently nationally ranked Miami team coming up. And am I right about this? I mean, you've got to be more two-dimensional on offense to have a chance against them.
Yeah. Look, I got to be honest, guys. Like, I'm not sure that it matters what they do on offense on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, I don't quite think that they're at a stage as a program where they can go be a threat on the road against the top 25 opponent. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to have to hit some chunk plays. That's another thing that, you know, I'm rewatching the game right now. I'm in the process of it. And, Southern Miss had three chunk plays to Liberty's nine, you know. So you don't beat elite programs on the road without some explosive plays. But at the same time, I do think, you know, if you're trying to you know, keep the game close and you know, potentially stay within striking distance, then running the ball a little bit, controlling the clock, if you can
right.
do it,
right.
which is not a guarantee, might not be an awful thing. So I think, you know, if they can find that balance, that's the formula.
All right, Nathan.
Bob, let me jump in real quick on something. I just want to clarify. I don't take a moral victory out of this loss. It's a loss. And somebody actually told me that coming out of the Rock. They said, don't you dare get on the Eagle Hour Monday and say it's a moral victory. And I'm not just saying that because that person told me to say that. I am saying we should have won that game. 39-37-17. We haven't really even talked about the safety that probably should have been called because of an intentional grounding. We fumble the ball twice inside the five. You're telling me we lose to Liberty in four overtimes when we have five turnovers and two inside the red zone, one on the goal line itself. If Paul Gander falls to the right rather than straight down, Rambo scores there. So what I'm getting at is, the point I'm saying is, it's – no Southern Miss fan should say, well, we were really close in that one to a good Liberty team. No, you beat the brakes off of a good Liberty team, and you blew it. That's what Hall said in the post game. And that's what I guess that's what irks me so bad, is that we played so good defensively, and then to what David said in the first segment, you don't have a quarterback, and you run the super back all second half, and it works, and you should win the game.
All right, Nathan Lee, as our intern, he was in the locker room after the game along with David. Before you play that, just your observation of what the mood was that you detected in the locker room.
Well, just coming straight out of it, after the game, you could tell the disappointment was there. But I will say, going into that game, I haven't seen a Southern Miss team that amped. So you like to see that going into it, but you know, it's hard to have any motivation after a loss like that. It's a brutal loss.
The mood of the coach obviously was not good.
No. And you got to give it to Coach Hall. He took the blame. He tried to blame it on himself, not to put it on any of the players, and that's what you want to see out of your head coach. But when you have a coach that has a lot of question marks around him after that game, it's also not what you want to hear.
All right, so one thing that Coach Hall said that generated a lot of reaction over the weekend was calling out basically the Southern Miss fan base. And I learned when the show started, Luke, it's our young super intern here that asked that question. So I think you have Coach Hall's reply to Nathan's question. Luke, do you have it?
Yeah, I was playing it. You didn't hear it?
No, it's not on, no.
Let me try one more time.
I thought we did have great energy. I did not think we packed the rock, though. You know, I'll be honest. I am so excited about the fans that were here and the energy they brought, but I'm so disappointed in the amount of people that was here. You know, and hey, man, I know I got to coach better. And I know there's a lot of fans that didn't come out there because they think I can't coach, and that's fine. All right? But it would be nice if we would come here and support these kids and get this rock back going. I thought our overall crowd number tonight was embarrassing. I'm sure the people that didn't come was embarrassed to have me coach tonight. That's fine. You know what I mean? But, like, we got to get in this together. You know, that's the thing about Southern Miss is when we're all pulling together, we can do it. And, you know, this side right here, how I had, you know, our students, and outside of that, almost no people in it. Our side had a lot in it, and I thought the suites were awesome. So I really appreciate those people. And, look, we're going to continue to build this program back, and there's going to come a day where the rock is packed. And I really hope our fans will jump on board with us and do that sooner rather than later, just like we got to get over this hump and start winning sooner rather than later.
All right, David. So I don't think anybody is embarrassed to have Will Hall coaching the team, and I'm sure he was pretty emotional after the game. Did that surprise you in any way?
Yeah, it did. And look, I come from a very buttoned up head coach in James Franklin, who will avoid saying things like that at all costs, essentially. But yeah, I was a little taken aback by it. And you know, I was just thinking about it. I was trying to decide whether I thought that was okay. Will Hall is emotional after a loss and said something that maybe if he could go back, he would take it back. Or is Will Hall, you know, making a challenge here? Is this something that Will Hall thinks is a strategic thing to say? And I still don't really know the answer. And I kind of wrote that in my Sunday column. But yeah, I mean, you guys have been around this longer than I have. I'm curious to know what your take on that is, so, because you have a better perception of the attendance situation here than I do.
Just context. I mean, people, if you're out there and you're a Southern Miss fan and you're mad that Will Hall said that, well, Todd Monken said the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing. Monken in a press conference said, "Why don't we? I'm summarizing it here at the Cliff Notes edition. I bought into this to the top deal. Why can't our fans do it? You need to show up and watch." And that, I mean, Monken said that, you know, 6-7 years ago. So this isn't Will Hall. And I think, David, to answer some of your question, this is what is refreshing about Will Hall, is that you know exactly what he thinks. And you know, yeah, I mean, he had to sit there on the sideline and stare at the east side the entire night. But let's be objective with it. if we win the football game, nobody cares about the type of crowd that was there.
Yeah. Hey, David, let me add this perspective to you as a guy that's been around here a long time. 24,000-25,000 people has pretty much been the base of support for the football program through the years. Now, it's been off of that some in the last couple of years, but when things were normal, you could be playing a really unattractive team, and you were going to draw, you knew that base of 24,000-25,000 people would show up. Add another 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 during homecoming, start winning on a consistent basis, and you're going to consistently add that number, and you're going to be in the upper 20,000 to 30,000. That, David, has been the history of attendance at Southern Miss.
Got it. Yeah, I went back for my Sunday piece, and I looked, excluding 2020, which obviously, the attendance situation was out of whack. That is the second lowest attendance since 2012 for a home opener.
Right.
So I think the other one was Kentucky, and I want to say 2017. That was worse. But yeah.
Well, and it's no excuse, but there was threatening weather, according to all the weather sources. And then you add to that, and I know this is kind of a mixed bag. It's good and bad, but now you add the fact that it's real easy for the tentative Southern Miss fan to say, it may be raining when I get there, and I can watch it on ESPN+. I think these are all factors that are going to have to work their way out with a program like ours, as opposed to Penn State, which is going to draw 80,000, doesn't matter who they play or when they're playing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, but yeah, I think you're right with the weather. But look, you lose a game, right? You're Will Hall. You've just lost the game by the narrowest of margins. I think maybe he could have delivered the message in a more delicate way, but I think it's, you start thinking about, again, the narrow margins. What are the little tiny advantages that I could have gotten that I didn't get here?
Right.
And, that's one of them.
Right. So.
David, I'll tell you something refreshing about the South. They don't sometimes parse every word like they do in the North. He'll be fine in a week. Welcome to Mississippi.
Hey, David, thanks, man. Good stuff. We appreciate it. Look forward to having you on the show every Monday.
Appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
David Eckert doing a great job for the Hattiesburg American. Never thought I'd say that, but he is. All right, Lee Roberts was there. He knows a lot about quarterbacking. We'll get his perspective next.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right. I want to thank David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American for joining us those first couple segments. Interesting conversation. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment. We had a great time there Friday afternoon. Thanks to Slade White and those guys for all the great food and the fun time that we had at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And we encourage you to enjoy the same. All right. Lee Roberts, color analyst for the Golden Eagle Radio Network, former great quarterback, conference champion quarterback for the Golden Eagles. Lee, we were talking to the new writer for the Hattiesburg American. I'm going to give you my quick summary of what I described to him, and I'm interested to hear your input. Very good defensive performance, much improved offensive line, a stable of really good wide receivers. The question right now is quarterback play.
You are spot on. I mean, I think our defense, Coach Armstrong, has done a tremendous job. Obviously, a really good defense last year. Got into the portal, got some depth, some big help up front. Dalen Gill, a big addition, in the middle of the linebacking core. Secondary, really, really strong. I know Saturday, obviously, from abroad, if you look, the one thing that I felt like we didn't do well, but those were a couple of pretty good running quarterbacks, is we weren't able to tackle the quarterback, and they were able to pick up some yardage. But, I don't think overall that hurt us. Offensively, yeah, I feel like we've got a stable of wide receivers. Unfortunately, just wasn't a situation where we could throw it too many times on Saturday. I know that hurt. I mean, here we are again, right, like we were in 2021. starting quarterback goes down. You know, thought we'd see Trey Lowe a little more. The one pass turns into a pick. Coach Hall, obviously, at the half decided he's going to, you know, forget the quarterback position for that game. Felt like the best thing we could do to win was to go with the super back. And I thought we did a lot of great things. Obviously, Frank Gore, man, just a tremendous player. We know what he is. The turnovers were big, though. But I think overall we are improved. We do have to try to figure out that quarterback position, right, for sure.
54 rushing attempts, 14 passing attempts. As a former quarterback, correct me if I'm wrong, you've really got to get more balance than that.
You know you do. And like I said, I mean, we're not sure the status where we are at quarterback. I mean, I know Trey Lowe listed as the backup. Obviously, like I said, Coach Hall wasn't very confident. Obviously, Zach Wilkie, we know what he can do from his high school career. Just a young guy. Not sure if he's ready. But yeah, I mean, if we put the super back in this week again, if that's the plan, then, you know, so be it. But you're right. I feel like we do have to be more balanced. And I know that's what Coach Hall wants to do. He wants to be a more balanced attack. And, you know, if you start running the football, which we did at times run it really, really well on Saturday. But if the teams know that's all you're going to do, they're going to just load the box. And if right. you can't complete balls one-on-one outside, it's going to be a long, long season.
Luke?
Lee, I want to make this point, and I want to get your comment on it. You talked about the stable of wide receivers. I'm just tired of people who do not understand the game of football running their loud mouths and showing that they do not understand the game of football. And I say that to say there's 13 receivers on this roster. We are signing and getting commits from a ton of wide receivers. Will Hall, and if you want to go back in 2020, 66 points shows it. You know, that day, whoever the quarterback was, that freshman at Tulane, he threw, you know, four or five passes. There is a passing component to this offense. Please affirm me in that.
You know, it is. I mean, you know, if you just look at Coach Hall, I mean, he's a quarterback himself. And, you know, quarterbacks like to throw the football, and quarterback coaches like to throw the football. And, you know, the last couple of years, it's just been a tough go at that quarterback position. And, you know, I'm going out on a limb and say if Ty Keyes doesn't get hurt on Saturday, if he comes back out that second half, we win that game, and we should win that game for multiple reasons. You know, I think Coach Hall was 100% confident in his ability to throw the football. I felt like he did a few things well on Saturday. Obviously, the couple picks he would love to have back. One was just an unbelievable play by Darrell Johnson on the end. But he's a guy that's going to make plays. He's going to make mistakes. I just kind of think that's just kind of players we have right now. But not sure of his status, not sure – you know, right. the direction we'll go this week, a lot to be told for sure. But, yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, a former quarterback, and I know Coach Will Hall as a quarterback coach, he does want to throw the football and throw it effectively. But also he's trying to win football games, and he felt sure. like the super back position was the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It limited Liberty's offensive possessions. It was the best thing we had at the time. You could have played low a little more. I get what you're saying. I mean, I completely agree with what you said earlier. Did we ever get explanation, and maybe I just was being a homer and refused to listen to the explanation. Did we ever get an explanation of what would have been a winning score with the grounding call that wasn't called when the quarterback threw it away? I didn't even think the ball got across the line of scrimmage.
You know, I felt like there were a couple calls that went against Southern Miss. One of them being, I think it was Janari Dean, you know, one of his early rushes, you know, we thought that pass down to Jason Brownlee and get the ball inside the five. I felt like Janari Dean crossed the goal line with the football, so we didn't get that call. And then the call that should have been a grounding call, we didn't get that as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys know, y'all are well educated. Those were Conference USA officials because is going into Conference USA, they got to bring their officials. So again, you know, say what you want, but wow. That was Conference USA officials on Saturday.
No, you shouldn't have said that, dude. Eagle Post gonna be conspiring later on today about you let it out. But what was I told Bob this earlier? The fourth down stop early on, and then the immediate fade to Brownlee at the goal line. I was just like, I'm watching Southern Miss football. Like, here it is. Like, this is it. There were a few glimpses in that game that we see that what this coaching staff is doing is working. Disagree if you want to about particulars. But, I mean, Lee, moments like that, I think, are on the horizon and coming back to the Rock.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out and say to all our fans, I mean, obviously Coach Hall is doing a tremendous job. You know, can obviously affect injuries, but yes, there are glimpses of some great things that are coming in Southern Miss football, and we saw some of that. I mean, we saw some great throws by Ty Keith. We saw some great catches by Brownlee, by Brandon Hayes on the side, Jacarius Caston. Again, not many completions on Saturday because we just didn't throw it too much, but obviously I think we're going to be good running the football. I felt like our O-line, Coach Gregg has done a tremendous job as well, improving that position, getting those guys ready. I know we need probably more bodies up there, but I feel like the 11 guys that we have playing are the 11 best playing, and coaches are working hard, players are working hard, and I agree. I think we are seeing some great things. We just got to continue to get better. Put the turnovers away. I mean, the five turnovers. I don't care who you're playing. It's tough to win with five turnovers.
Well, to be positive, two observations that I had. First, looking at the defensive team, they just look different on the field. They're bigger. They're more physical. There's more speed. There's a clear improvement there. And then I know a quarterback's best friend is the offensive line, and I was really watching that. And, you know, I was real critical of those kids last year, but give them credit. I thought the offensive line looked much improved as well.
You know, they really did, and made a couple changes throughout the game, too, and brought in some different guys. So I think they're counting on about eight different guys playing up front each and every week. But, yeah, defensively, I feel like we are much better. Again, I alluded to earlier, we were a pretty good defense last year, but Coach Armstrong has done a great job. Defensive line play has improved. We are big. We're physical. We're big bodies. We can get after the quarterback. I feel like linebackers, I mean, even though Hayes Maples is out for this year, Daylon Gill just very, very tough up the middle, as well as, you know, on the edge with Bozeman and Avery Hobbs. We're good there. And like I said, the back end, you know, as talented as we've been in the back end as well. So a lot of positives, man. So hopefully fans will see that. They'll continue to support Southern Miss for that reason. And the wins are going to come.
Well, so, let's keep it in perspective. It was the first game where you went to quadruple overtime against a team that has not only been to three straight bowl games, won three straight, and has what I believe is one of the best college coaches in the country.
Hugh Freeze, man, you're right. I mean, a guy that knows Southern Miss, so he knew what he was coming into. So he had his guys prepared as well. A great coach. And say what you want also. I mean, I'm not a fan of the new overtime rules. As officials make the game longer because of you know, them calling timeouts to review plays. I hate that they take the plays away from the kids in overtime. You know, let them play. Let them try to go for it. I understand trying to have to go for a two-point conversion late. But, you know, just to put the ball in the three the last two series, that's tough on any offense.
And,
you know, it just almost becomes a toss-up. But I was proud. I was proud the way the kids fought. I was proud the way they showed up. They came out the second half after maybe a little bit of a butt chewing and really responded. We just fell a little short, and literally just fell a little short.
Yeah, about a yard short, actually, in the end.
Absolutely.
And it came down to about a yard. All right, Lee, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you, and look forward to having you on the Eagle Hour every Monday.
Hey, appreciate you guys as well, man. Y'all have a great day.
Lee Roberts, color analyst for the Golden Eagle Network. Conference champion quarterback, really one of the top. Nathan Lee, in my opinion, if you rank the top five quarterbacks of all time at Southern Miss, he's in that list.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
We'll be back. Wrap up this holiday edition of the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Monday, on this Labor Day Monday, brought to you by DBAT in D1 training. It's a great day. It's cloudy, overcast. Go see DBAT in D1 Pro Shop. 70-yard indoor facility, batting cages, it's all there. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Nathan Lee sitting in with us today from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, well, Jenny Hazelwood got three more wins, guys, over the weekend. Lady Eagles sweep the Mercer Bears Classic and now sit at 5-1. They'll practice this week and then host the Southern Miss Invitational in the volleyball facility. They will take on Stephen F. Austin Friday at 7, Mississippi Valley at 3 p.m. on Saturday, and then the nightcap, Houston Baptist on Saturday. So Lady Eagle volleyball out to a 5-1 start. Women's golf is at the USA Collegiate, Intercollegiate. That would be the University of South Alabama. Momoko Ando had a career-low 68. Lady Eagles right now tied for sixth place overall. And then Lady Soccer drops a 3-1 contest to the Lady Bayou Bengals of LSU. So soccer looking for, I think all their wins so far were in the exhibition games. They're just running that gambit of the SEC right now. So they fall 3-1 to LSU. We'll take on Mississippi State at home on Thursday. I thought, Bob, this was a good comment to play. Hugh Freeze was asked after the game what he thought about the defense of Southern Miss, particularly, and this is what the Liberty coach had to say.
Man, I told everybody that would listen, I had this feeling that this team was going to be one of the more improved teams, and I know they are defensively. Offensively, I think they're still searching a quarterback, and that – not sure how that'll play out, but I want to tell you defensively, you watch what I'm telling you, they'll be one of the top defensive units in the country. And Will and his staff, congratulations to them. And I know it hurts, but they've already taken leaps and bounds, steps of improvement from last year, and I'm pulling for those guys. So
that was Hugh Freeze after the game, and kind of what we've said all day, the defense is as advertised. And what was so fun is watching, as he told us, Bob, a month or so ago, Brandon Lacy was rotating those defensive linemen in. They would just come in like a new hockey line. I don't know how many guys they played up front, six or seven, maybe eight. And that was fun to watch, because when you can disrupt the front like that, Austin Armstrong has the ability to bring blitzers from linebacker. Even they should have, Tylan Knight should have had a sack and just missed the guy. And it was real fun to watch the creativity that can happen on a defensive side when you're that good up front.
No question. Now, Nathan, you observed something that I did back on, I guess that would have been the east side of the stadium. Liberty had this army of brand new, beautiful buses with their big logo on the side. Counted five. Mm-hmm. What in the world? Who in the world did they put on five buses that big?
That's a good question to me. I was wondering that when I was parking. I saw also one of my friends, Austin, he saw all of them coming down 49. It was like, oh, my goodness. What are they bringing, a whole army of fans and players?
I don't know. I can't imagine how they filled up five buses like that.
It's a good question. I was wondering that.
They didn't have – I don't think they had that many fans for five buses. But, I mean, some of these teams will drive buses down and pick their team up at the airport. But surely they didn't do that.
And they
were they double decker like Old Dominion from the state of Virginia?
No, but they were brand new and they were gorgeous. Oh, yeah. And they had an 18-wheeler.
Yep.
Pulled up under the stadium to put all their gear in. The Liberty's got some jack.
They got a little program over there.
I'll tell you, they got some jack. You can tell that. And I will say this, because he's a Southern Miss alum, Luke. I watched Hugh Freeze all night, pregame, during the game. Man, he's a polished, confident coach. And I think that's where Will Hall will be. Hugh Freeze had an advantage, though. Hugh Freeze has proven himself. And I think Will Hall is working really, really hard to prove himself at this level. Hugh Freeze has accomplished that. And that's no criticism of Coach Hall. I think he's going to get there. But you could tell Hugh Freeze is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last thing I would say about coaching on a Monday. Again, there's no moral victories. We should have won this game by double-digit points. You lose your quarterback, you go into the super back, you score more in the second half than you do in the first half, and you lose in four overtimes in a game where you turn the ball over five times and fumble twice inside the five-yard line.
Right.
Did we blow it? Yes. Did we lose? Yes. But I guarantee you, a lot of people, although expectations sometimes can be unrealistic, what you saw defensively is proof that what this coaching staff is saying, they are putting, you know, the field on the field product to where the talking has been. And last year, the defense was ahead of the offense. This year, obviously, it's the same thing. But there's been improvement on both sides. Bob, you mentioned the offensive line. No moral victory. We're 0-1. But I feel a whole lot better after watching a game that you basically handed to Liberty. I feel better about the rest of the season.
All right, you want to be happy and upbeat? We've got Joy Lee McNellis and one of her players that we want. We'll just kind of keep it on the QT, but a really great announcement about women's basketball. Also remind everybody that we'll be at the Lady Eagle Golf Tournament this coming Friday. We'll be talking a little bit about that tomorrow with Coach, with women's basketball, but also just, I think, exciting news surrounding the program. So that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday. Thank you for tuning in. See you tomorrow at 1. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.